sometimes we have to look past what these eyes see, and we have to look with eyes of faith. How many of you are ready to move to a level that you've never known in God before? How many are you ready to see amazing miracles even beyond what we've already seen? How many, oh, I don't see any hands. How many of you are ready for what God has? It might not be in the box you've been in. It might not be like you've ever seen before. But I'm telling you, you mark my words, God is going to do something amazing in this house. I'm excited, and I know it's coming. I've known from the first, September the 15th or whatever, when I walked in. Bobby and I sat back there. Matter of fact, I'm going to go back a little further because we had just, let me go back a little further. Let me just keep going back till I get to the beginning. But I was leading worship in 2015, and I didn't feel well. Kathy was there. She was on my praise and worship team in Pearland. And we were worshiping, and we were singing, Shout to the Lord. And all of a sudden, I did not feel right. And they told me, the next thing I knew, I was on the floor. And I had fallen like a tree would fall, stiff, and just landed on a metal box like that over there, just like that little black one there. And I hit my head, suffered a severe concussion, and also a traumatic brain injury. I spent I was in the hospital for 38 days, came home in a wheelchair, and y'all may know all this. I'm not sure if there's any visitors that don't know the story, but I was in a wheelchair for, when I came home from the hospital, I couldn't even push the wheelchair. It was just, my body just wasn't functional. And of course couldn't stand. It was a year before I could even stand and brush my teeth. So, you know, it's been a process, but God's been faithful. Upon going to the hospital when I knew things were going all wrong, Bobby sat down with me, and I wanted to take this minute to say, thank God for a godly husband, one who's sensitive to the Spirit and who's faithful to his word. That man is, and I can vouch for that, and I thank God for that. That's, you know, there's all of us are faithful to God's word. It's exciting to walk in that walk. We were fixing to leave to go. I had my bags packed, and I was just barely able to take inch steps, and it was just an awful situation. He took me to the hospital. He took me and he sat me down and he said, we're going to read the word before we leave this house. And he opened the Bible and he began to read about Lazarus. And he read the story, and when he got to the part where the messenger went to Jesus and said, the one that you love is dying, you need to come right now. And Jesus said something like this. He said, this sickness is not unto death, but that the Son would be glorified. And I knew right then, something went in me. I felt something. And it's like, I'm okay. But I wasn't okay. You know what I mean? So we went to the hospital, stayed there 38 days. On June the 9th, during that stay, we were there 2 weeks, and I hadn't called one soul to tell them to pray. I thought, I don't know what's going on. I don't want all the fluff and the visitors and the phone calls and the questions. I just didn't want it. I was kind of touched at the time. And but I was also very, let's say it together, prideful. Say that, prideful. Not so today. But anyway, I was a little prideful. Pride is not of the Lord. And so I stood up in the middle of the night, or slid off the side of the bed. They were helping me go to the restroom. And at 3:30 in the morning, and when I did, I had nothing. There was nothing. I had no abilities whatsoever. And instantly I saw a vision. And it was Jesus standing in front of the tomb of Lazarus. Lazarus was standing there, and Jesus said to his friends that were standing by, go, loose him, loose him. And instantly I knew, I need my friends. I need my church family. I need those loved ones around me. I'm not all that. And so instantly I said, Bobby, you call everybody you know. I need prayer. And I believe he called you guys, and they came to see me. You know. But, you know, I came home from the hospital unable to do anything. Spent that, I don't know, two and a half years, almost 3 years in a wheelchair. We came here on September the something, I'm not sure what, about 2 weeks prior to the 23rd, whatever that is. And I believe on the second Sunday we were here, Pastor prayed for me. And it was on the front row right over here, and he prophesied to me, and he said, you will run again. You will run again. That wasn't the first time I'd heard that. When I got home from the hospital, my little daughter, who's now 35, she saw me come in the house and she charged me like a bull and she laid her hands on me and she began to pray in the Holy Ghost. That's a tool. Amen? She began to pray in the Holy Ghost and then she began to prophesy over me. She said, you will sprint. You will run. And I'm telling you, it's rolled out of her that this is not going to be forever. And I knew then that I could trust in the Lord to bring me out of that mess. But he didn't. How about that? For a while. And Pastor prayed for me. At the time, I was just not able to make it from the parking lot. I was on my feet a tiny bit. I wasn't able to make it from the parking lot into the seats. So I would unload my scooter and come in on my scooter. You remember that? I was on the scooter for a while. He prayed for me, and it wasn't but 2 weeks I was out of that scooter. I walked into Kroger for the first time and pushed a cart to buy groceries. I didn't ride the cart. I pushed a cart. Barely made it back to the car, but I did it with the help of the Lord. Now, this last February the 16th, we were married 45 years. Hallelujah. That's something to shout about. It is for Bobby. It is for Bobby. He's dealt with a lot with me, you know. But 45 years of marriage. 45 years of God's faithfulness, whether we were or not. You know, we made a lot of mistakes, but you know what we didn't do? We didn't run away from God. We ran to him. Hallelujah. And so, 45 years, and we're going to celebrate. So we take off. We get in the car, and we haul it. We're going to go to see the Ark in Kentucky. Anybody ever heard of the Ark? It's been replicated. 3,300,000 board feet. That's a lot of wood. It's the largest wood structure in the world. It's an amazing, it's like almost 2 football fields in length. So we wanted to see that. It was phenomenal. And it puts everything into perspective, so to speak. And so then we came back down through Georgia, Dalton, Georgia, because we wanted to go to see a Bible that was flowing oil. There's a Bible in Dalton, Georgia, 2 years ago. And let me just say right off the bat, God is the miracle worker. It's not any man. It's not any Bible. It's him. It's him. And so we wanted to go visit this little gift shop. We'd heard so much about this gift shop that had started having prayer in the back of the little gift shop. It wasn't a Christian bookstore. It was nothing but a little Baptist girl owned it. And she said, I want to start having prayer. And I think she was having prayer on Tuesday nights. Well, some men in the city said, can we use your prayer room? Like 7 men or so. And they wanted to come in and pray for the city and pray for God to just move. What have we been doing every Sunday night and Monday night? What are we praying? What are we praying? Are you coming to prayer? Do you want to see God do amazing things in this place? That's the key. If I could hand you anything, it's that right there. The prayers of the saints. The effectual prayer of the righteous. What avails much, much more than the eye has seen, the ears heard. I'm telling you, there's power in prayer. So they met on Tuesday nights, these men. They prayed for a couple of years, I believe. And one of the gentlemen, a little elderly man, a little bald-headed fellow with a little white beard, Jerry, he noticed, they went to a prayer meeting on Tuesday night, and the Lord moved on he and his wife in such a way, I think they actually were out in the spirit. Now, this is a little Baptist gift shop. Okay, anyway, so they're out in the spirit. And when the woman got up, she said, I will never be the same after today. She and her husband went home, and they said, we're not going to go anywhere. We're not going to talk to anybody. We're not going to do anything but pray and read the word. They read psalms, and they read psalms, and they read psalms. God's so good. He's so precious. So one day, the grandkids had been there, they left, and he comes out of the bedroom with his Bible, and there's a little oily spot in the Bible. And he says, Mama, did the kids spill something on my Bible? And she said, number one, they didn't have anything to spill, and number two, they haven't been back in the bedroom. And he said, well, there's something on my Bible. 2 or 3 days later, it's a bigger spot, and it begins to run. through the Bible, saturate all the pages. It went from Psalm 39, went all the way to Revelation, went through the maps, or the concordance, and went through the maps and stopped. And then it started in Genesis, and it started running from Genesis all the way to Psalms. And then it started dripping. The Bible started dripping. So he puts it in a 5-gallon Ziploc. Well, it started filling in the Ziploc up, and he took a plastic shoebox, and he put it in the plastic shoebox. It filled the plastic shoebox up. And every container he would put it in, it kept filling it up. Of course, the place is, Dalton, Georgia is all just going crazy. And the Lord spoke to this little man. He said, as long as you give it away, glorify me, it'll keep flowing. Well, that's 2 years ago, and it's still flowing. So we wanted to go to the prayer meeting, and we thought it would be, 25, 30 people, I don't know. We get there, and they're having to meet across the street in an old theater, and there's 400 or 500 people there every Tuesday morning. And people are popping up like popcorn, just testifying of what God's doing. Is there some special thing in the oil? God made everything. He made trees. He's just making oil come out of a Bible. Was there anything special about that oil other than it's just something else God made? What's special about it is the God behind it. Hallelujah. And so he's doing a new thing. He's doing something, and what happens is you look at that Bible sitting in that oil that should have already disintegrated by now, and you can turn every page. Well, we went to this little prayer meeting, that big prayer meeting, and they had praise and worship, and the atmosphere, just like here, is charged with the presence of the Lord. He's there. And so they call for testimonies, and then they offer prayer. And so Bobby and I, of course, I'm going down, Now, let me tell you this. We went to Arkansas, Kentucky, where else? Tennessee. Anyway, I'm just telling you, everything there is on the hill. I don't care if it's a restaurant or a gas station or a hotel. You're walking uphill or you're walking downhill. And how many of you know that I struggle? Walking on a straight surface, I can fly. I'm doing real good, but you make it deviate a little bit, and I get all wonky. I did. And so this incline, or this, would just throw me out of sorts. It was just a mess. And it would be really hard on my body, real hard on my hips and my lower back. And I suffered anytime I didn't walk on, like in the yard, not a level surface. I was all over the place. Well, so I went down for prayer. And a gentleman slapped a bucket of oil on me and slapped a bucket of oil on him and began to prophesy and pray. And it was sweet and it was great. And oh man, it was glorious. And so we went back and said about the ninth row back. And I just put my head down on the bench in front of me. And I was just soaking in the atmosphere. And Bobby leaned over and he said, John, let me get my drink. I'll be right back. And I said, sure, whatever. And then I'm just minding my own business, and all of a sudden I feel something over my head. And it's just rubbing up. I knew it wasn't a hand, just all over my head. And I'm thinking, what in the thunder is going on here? I'm like, okay, somebody's getting real spiritual here. There's that little bit of pride popped up. And then I heard this sweet voice say, everything's going to be all right. Everything is going to be just fine. Now, in the kind of back in the corner of my heart, I had pondered what my life would be at 80. Because I'm not so naive as to think that things get better. I didn't want to be so feeble I couldn't function. And so, because I did not have full strength in my legs. If I was to lie down on the bed and try to raise my leg would just freak out. It was something that wasn't functional back in the back of my legs, in my lower back. So, I'm thinking, what is this? What is going on? And this guy's saying, everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be just fine. And I knew exactly what he meant by that. And so he prayed, God, I just pray. Real simple, sweet voice. God, I just pray complete healing in this woman. Good prayer. I love it. He walked away. Well, I wondered who it was, so I stood up. And
It was that little old man. He had taken that Bible out of the oil, and he came all the way around the auditorium and came to me. And I think it was the Bible that he was rubbing on my head. I'm not certain, but I'm almost positive it was. I was awful greasy. So he was walking away, and I saw that Bible glistening underneath his arm. And I thought, oh, God, thank you. That was so special. I mean, he didn't pray for everybody. He just pinpointed me. And so he's going back to his little table where the Bible's in the oil. So he's going back. And I turned and I was watching him go. And all of a sudden he stopped about midway and he turned around on his heels and he looked me dead in the eye. And he comes right back down the aisle, right back down the row. And he looked at me about this far from my face and he said, something we know very well in this house. God is so good. And when he said that to me, it's as though a dam broke in me. I fell on that poor little man, and I wept, and I wept, and I wept. And looking back in retrospect, I know exactly what I was weeping for. I was grieving over what happened to me. I was grieving for the struggle. I was grieving for all that I went through. But also, I was thanking God. It's over. It's over. Thank God, it's over. Now, I can look back and see that, but I didn't see it at the time. We left there, went across the street to the little gift shop, and they're always seeing miracles in that place, just like here. And we were back there listening to the wonderful little Baptist girl who's just so full of the Holy Ghost, she's about to bust. And God has radically changed her life. And you walk in the little gift shop and there's prayer here and there's prayer here and there's prayer here and there's prayer here. I don't think anybody's buying much, but they're all getting prayer. And I was back there soaking up all these wonderful stories with about 20 other people. And Bobby was out front talking to people, if you can believe that. He's kind of shy. But anyway, he's up there talking to people and meeting people. We had met a couple when we first walked in. They actually prayed for us. She went to pay for something and Bobby said, let me get that for you. You know, just let me bless you. It was about $13. So he paid for her little gift, and she was standing here. Bobby was standing here, and the husband was here. They were just chatting by the register. I have to throw this in. It has nothing to do with me, but it was just awesome. And just by the register there, and a little black lady comes up, and she opens her purse, and she gets her money out, and she hands it to the little lady, and her purchase was like $24. And so the lady behind the register said, oh, honey, you gave me too much. And she said, I gave you all I got. And she said, no, you gave me $40. And she said, no, I gave you all I had. I only had a 30 and a 20. I mean, a 20 and a 10. And so they began to discuss this situation, and she was going to give her the money back. She looked back down, and there was two 20s and two 10s in her hand. So God multiplied that money and gave that little lady her money back, plus a little change. Isn't that the way God works? Do you think that he quit doing that just because? Do you think he still multiplies? Do you think he still rebukes the devourer for your sake when you give your money into the offering? He says to the devil, you can't touch them. They're tithers. You can't touch them. They're tithers. It's important to give. I dare you. That's what the Bible says, so I can say it too. I dare you to give. I dare you. I dare you, because what will happen is when you start putting him number one in your finances, you'll be up here testifying of the miracle that God did in your life. There was no way, and it just appeared. That's the way God works. He's a miracle worker. He's the way maker. Are you ready for something to happen, something awesome in our midst, even more than what we've experienced? Raise the bar. Raise the bar, Sharon. Raise the bar. That woman's going to be healed. Raise the bar. Raise the bar. Come on, expect it. Expect it. He's the miracle worker. We're not just singing about it. We're living it. He's living through us. He is the miracle worker. Hallelujah. It's time to sell out. It's time to sell out. It's time to sell out. It's time to be all in. All in. All in. Nothing held back. All in. All in. Well, I said, give me a bottle of that oil. Bobby got one, I got one. We went back and confirmed. I said, Bobby, bottoms up. We're going to drink this. I thought, well, while I'm here, why not, you know? I just heard about a little girl that had sickle cell anemia, and she was completely delivered, completely drank that oil, and she's completely well. And so, praise God. Hallelujah. Another miracle. They're everywhere. Tumors disappear. And stage 4 cancer, no cancer. I mean, it's just God is doing an amazing thing in our time. Hallelujah. And we get to be a part of it. We get to be a part of it. You get to be instruments in His hands. It's not just the preacher. It's not just Bobby. It's not just Billy. It's not just a few chosen that come up here and pray for God to heal. All of us are required to obey the word. He pulls at our hearts and says, come on, you don't have any idea what I've got for you. Come on, come on, come on, get on board, come on. I want to use you in a mighty way. Make it your life mission to reach out and touch people around you. Don't isolate yourself in your four walls. Get out there. Find somebody that needs Jesus. Talk to them from your heart. They will listen. They will listen. I cornered 2 little boys in some kind of chicken joint. And you know what the Lord gave me as an opening line? You look just like George Springer. And I was in the back of the chicken shack preaching to 3 kids. But you know what? That's okay. That's okay. God held the customers back and we had us a time. Thank you, Lord. Well, Bobby and I drank our little, you know, bottoms up. We drank it. We're just happy and enjoying the atmosphere. But I was hungry, so we went to eat. And the little restaurant was, of course, down the hill. And I went down the hill and I stepped up on the curb. And when I stepped up on the curb, I felt something different. I did not feel healed. I wasn't good. I wasn't great. But I stepped up on the curb and I thought, well, that was different. Didn't even connect the dots. We left there. That was Tuesday, Wednesday. I called my daughter and we're chit-chatting. And somewhere in here, God had put a desire in my heart from Tuesday to Wednesday. I was talking to my daughter and it just bubbled out. I don't even know where it came from. I said, Lacey, when I get back home, I'm going to start running. She says, okay, Mom. You might better rethink that. And I said, I'm going to do it. I need to run. Well, I'm still not connecting the dots. I'm a slow learner. And so Sunday morning rolls around, Mother's Day. I'm coming to the church. My son is standing there, and they have a little step. Okay? And I stepped up on that step, and Glenn said, Mom, you really did well on that step. And I said, I know. Wasn't that neat? Still not connecting the dots. But something's happening in my body. Something's happening. And so, Monday morning, we got to go to a playoff game on Monday night. And I have nothing to wear. And so, I get up, I grab all my laundry, I kick the back door open, and out the door I went. And they had put me a ramp because I couldn't do the stairs, you know. With my wheelchair, it was a little difficult. So, they had put me a ramp from the door to the landing. It's definitely, y'all seen it. And so I went out that door and I got to the bottom of the ramp and it was like, well, that was easy. And I turned around, and I went back up the ramp. And I turned around, I went back down the ramp. I wanted to really test it out before I called him because I knew it was over when I called him. And I called Bobby and said, Bobby, you got to see this. He turns on the video camera. And I'm coming down the ramp, and I'm going up the ramp, and I'm coming down the ramp. And then I remember, stairs. I got to find some stairs. Well, there's 3 stairs going into our barn. Well, even before you get to that, there's a little rise that goes in between the gate. It's about a 4-inch rise. But I struggled. Every time I went over it, it was hard. It hurt. I'd go over the ramp. It's hard to go up, and it's hard to go down. But get me on flat surface, and I was good. I hit those stairs flying. I went up the stairs, I went down the stairs, I went up the stairs, I went down the stairs, and then it hit me, that power in my legs. Woo! The same power when that prayer meeting, at the prayer meeting when I took off running, I felt that power again. I'm telling you, it was unction, it was strength, it was anointing, it was God's touch. And I'm telling you, I can do stairs. I'm so excited. I can do stairs. I can do ramps. I can do it all. And I'll tell you a little something else. my sister met me at a birthday party a few weeks ago, and she said, "Sister, I'm going to bring you all the stuff at Mama's that you left on the bed, because we're clearing it out. We've got some, my little granddaughter's going to move in." I said, "Okay, bring it on." They put it all in the back of my truck. I'm in my trunk. I pop the hood to look at it, and there sat a pair of running shoes. I said, "Are these Mother's?" And she said, "No, they're yours." And I went, "Okay." I have no recollection of ever having any running shoes, because I haven't been running. You know what I mean? They're my size. They must be mine. So God's been setting me up, and I'm going to start running. Hallelujah. Let's just lift our hands and say, "Thank you, God, for one more miracle." Matter of fact, why don't we just lift up? Come on. Come on. Lift your hands and tell him, "Thank you, God, for the miracles that are on the way. Thank you, God, that the running shoes are in place. Thank you that there's miracles coming our way that we can't even think or even know." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God, we worship you today. We thank you, Lord, that you are going to pour out blessings upon blessings upon blessings of miracles and healings. Salvation for the lost, oh God. Those that don't know you can come in this place and feel the convicting power of the Holy Ghost. Fall on their faces and know you and taste and see that you are good. He is good. His mercy is forever. Hallelujah. 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 Is there something in your life that you're believing for? Is there anything in your heart, in the heart of hearts, maybe you've never even spoken it, but it's a desire. You know, God placed it there. Cultivate that. Stir up the gift in you. Worship the Lord through that thing. Say, "God, I know you put this desire in my heart. I know it's from you. Let me pursue the call that you have for my life." Don't wake up tomorrow the same. Don't go from this place the same. If you aren't living, breathing, eating, sleeping, God, then you need to come to him with everything you have. Lay it all out there and say, "God, I just bring you me. I'm nothing without you.
Yes, Jesus.
I'm bringing you me." Because one day we are going to die. We're going to take our last breath. There will be no heartbeat anymore. Just because you're young does not mean that it won't happen to you. Nobody is promised of the next breath. And when you take your last, it's over. Only one life so soon will pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. So give to Jesus all your days. It's the only life that pays. Because when we think about it, we only have one life. Don't just spend your life. Invest your life. Invest your life. Pay attention to the details in your life and say, "God, does this honor you? Does this honor you? Does this dishonor you?"
Jesus.
Don't embrace anything that leads you away from the cross. He's in this place, and he's calling for 100% all in. Can you imagine what he could do with this group of people in the coming days if we forsook all and followed him? We spend so much time taking care of our things and our stuff. We're taking nothing. When we leave here, only what's done for Christ is what we'll take with us.
Hallelujah.
I want to sell out to him.
Thank you, Jesus.
I guess that's why I'm so crazy when I worship, because that's the gift he's given me to kind of do that. I don't know what I do up here. I'm this poor group up here. They get so, I'm not very good at staying with the group. I'm just not. I'm just kind of all over the place. And they're so good to follow. Don't you appreciate our worship team?
Oh, yes. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus, for them.
It never goes like practice. But that's okay. God's working on it.
For his glory. But
I just encourage you today. Nothing is worth losing your relationship with Christ. Nothing is worth losing your relationship with Christ. If it draws you away from the cross, it draws you away from him,
Do you feel a little bit cold and indifferent? You've gone too far from the cross. You need to step right back into his arms and say, God, I've blown it. Today's the day. Today's the day. Today is the day. Amen?
Amen.
I guarantee you, you can look around this crowd and see some white-haired people, and they can tell you a thing or two. They can tell you a thing or two. I'm 63 years old, and I look back at my life, and I've got so many regrets. If you're young, you've got a precious gift. Because you can decide right now, I'm going to live for Christ all my days. I don't care who makes fun of me. I don't care what I miss out on in this world. There's nothing worth going to hell over. Not one thing. Not one thing. Because hell's forever. But heaven is too. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you go to hell, it's because you chose to go. It's not because he wants to send you there. He wants all of you. His love compels him to just draw you. He just loves you so much. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, if I learned anything, if I learned anything at all, it's to go more after hearts of people. You know, we look at ourselves and we think, oh, we're doing enough. I'm doing more. How many wants to do more for Jesus? How many wants to do more for Jesus? Raise your hand. If you really want to do more for Jesus, Jesus saw your hand. He said, but I have no way to wash my clothes. He said, I have no money. this money gets me to wash my clothes and buy me some food till Tuesday. Hallelujah! Is that just something that happens? Follow the Spirit of God. One little lady was praying for her, went over and asked her, and you know what her ministry is? You know what her ministry is? Listen to this. She works in Holiday Hilton Express. She does the food and brings the food out. Elderly lady that has to work. I see a lot of them that have to work. And I thank God for those women that work. They have to work. They don't have retirement. They don't have Social Security. But they're forced to work to make a living. Y'all know what I'm talking about. These things.
Glass.
I mean, he got a big office, all glass, right in the center of the dealership. We started talking to him about Jesus, the good things about the Lord, what he'd do. And he asked Joe, he's a believer and he has a ministry and he wants us to pray for him. And I said, well, yeah. So we get the wall, and we start praying for him. This guy has a suit on, he's a really, really nice guy. You know, I mean, you can tell. And all of a sudden, we start praying for him. He falls over his desk. And I mean, these guys laying on his desk just crying out to the Lord. Just crying out to God. So we're praying for him. As we're praying for him, we're speaking into his life. And I kind of looked over, and there here's another guy standing in his office. He had a suit on. I don't know who he was. He's standing at the guy's door. I looked over at him. He comes in, put my arm around him. I start praying for him. We started talking to him, then God moved on me. I started prophesying to this guy. Well, this guy that's laying on the desk, he really starts wailing. Ah! Me and Joe went, oh no, what's going on here? I mean, they're yelling at him. Well, come to find out that he said, I know this man right here. He said, everything that you prophesied is what he's been going through. Everything that you've said has been exactly, I know he's confided in me and everything exactly. He said, I know this is a word from God. I know this is God. I know this is it. God. I'm going to start doing all I can. And you know what all it is? It's all about Jesus. Has nothing to do with us. Has nothing to do with you. It never has anything to do with us. And all about what's going on with him. It's about Rudy, you know what I'm talking about. It's all about him. It's all about Jesus.